It's another episode of This Week in Google Glass. We're back. It's welcome. Happy 2014, 2014. And we've got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about, including is Google Glass doomed? I hope not, because I spent a lot of money in Google Glass. And we're also going to talk about prescription lenses. We're going to talk about a story that came across this morning, and not sure if it's true or not. We're going to talk about the woman who had her glass, the ticket, and what happened there, and a whole bunch more. Lots of stuff from CES. So here it is, This Week in Google Glass. My name is Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine. Think magazine, put in a geek. You've got Geekazine, of course, geekazine.com. And my email is jeff@twig.tv, TWIGG.tv. As always, my cohort in crime is Mr. He's down in Dallas, Mr. Luke Wallace. How you doing, Luke?
Hey, doing real good tonight, Jeff.
Tell people about you.
I always forget the intro part. So, yeah, I'm Luke Luca on Twitter. That's LukeLuca. And Luke at twig.tv. That's TWIGG.tv. We've got, I'm also on Google Plus at google.com/plus Luke Wallace.
And yeah, it's plus Jeffrey Powers too, or minus Jeffrey Powers if you want to minus me. Google minus. Yeah, so we've got a lot of great stuff here, and first of all, if you don't hear it in my raspy voice, I came back from CES and I really wasn't sick per se, but things have just been progressing, and I have this cough, and you know, and I'm not feeling well, but I'm not, you know, it's not like I've got a fever or cold or anything like that. So I just got the crud from CES, but this year was a great CES. Did a lot, of course, a lot of wearable technology coming from CES, and had a lot of fun with that. We set up the booth and we recorded from CES. Straight up many, many hours worth of pictures, which I thought I had them pulled up here. I'm trying to find them really quick. I guess, you know, the one thing about Google Pictures is you can take a lot of pictures there, but then they kind of hide them on you. So I'm just trying to find some of the pictures. So, but anyway, CES, awesome stuff. Lots of things happened. If you didn't see the video and the multiple pictures, Mr. Christopher Lloyd, a.k.a. Doc Brown, was at CES, and he came out of the DeLorean, and he was running around with a Gibson guitar, and I was doing some video there, and all of a sudden I realized something. It's like, hey, you know, you need Google Glass. And so what I did was I took my pair of Google Glass and I just kind of handed it to him. And so I took a lot of pictures of him with Google Glass. Here's some of the pictures coming up right now. I'll put them up on the big screen here in a second once I find the right ones. But anyway, the DeLorean, there are the pictures I want. There we go. And, of course, Christopher Lloyd wearing my Google Glass. I was really happy about that. So. Did you by chance see any of the pictures there, Luke?
Actually, I did. I thought that was amazing. Like, I'd seen those pictures for a day or two before I saw that you were the one that gave up your glass for that. So, that was pretty neat. I saw those pictures and it was like, hey, here's Christopher Lloyd, you know, wearing Google Glass in a DeLorean, really cool CES, you know, picture. And I had no idea that it was, it's like, hey, I know those glasses. I see those, or I'm sorry, I know those Google Glass devices or that device, because, yeah, I see it every week on This Week in Google Glass.
This Week in cool. Google Glass. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And you know, it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. So I don't have any pictures of me. I have one video where I'm actually putting the glass on Christopher Lloyd from somebody else's camera, and I kind of took a snapshot. That's the only time you see me and him together. And that picture right there was an actual selfie. While we were trying to put it on, I must have hit the button and popped on. So besides that, there's no real other indication that that was my Google Glass, but I know for a fact that this is my Google Glass, and I was really happy about that. So and of course this pair of Google Glass has gone through some stages. I mean, it not only Christopher Lloyd wore them, but also the CEO of Ford, Ellen Mulally, who just recently turned down the opportunity to be CEO at Microsoft. He wore the Google Glass as well. So these are pretty famous Google Glass already. So, and there's only one small problem with that. Do you know what that
What's
problem
that?
is? The problem
You're not going to
is,
be able to keep them, right? These will
yeah,
always have to go back.
this is version one, and I'm waiting for version two, so I can go in. And apparently, now this is the next thing. I was going to show some more pictures here, but let's get into the show here. You don't have your pair of Google Glass on, and the reason why is.
The reason why is that they haven't sent me the new one. So I called up today to find out what was going on, but basically, last Friday I got the box that I have to mail my current ones back in before they'll mail me the new one. It just showed up. They didn't give me an option to put, more money down and basically have them send me the new ones so that I could always have a pair. They basically just sent me a box, didn't tell me it was coming, and I packed up my pair, put them in the box, and I got that shipped off on Monday. And I know the label that I slapped on there said something like overnight air or next day air or something that to me it was like, oh, it's pretty quick. So, 1 or 2 days at the most. And I think it was going to Kentucky again. I think that's where it was going. And basically, but now it's been a week and I didn't get them on Friday, didn't get them on Saturday. I was kind of wondering what was going on. So I got a hold of them today on the phone and I asked about it and they said, well, we did get the, pair you sent us back. And so that was one big relief. I was afraid, UPS had lost them and I'd never see them again. And they wouldn't believe me that they got lost and they would just, I'd just be out of luck. So I'm glad they got them. Then they said, oh, but we're closed today. So they were processed on Saturday. And so you should get your new pair, this week. Hopefully they'll ship out tomorrow. And it should be next day air or 2 day air or something real quick. So I should get them this week. But a little slower than I would have expected for next day air, getting it back,
You know, okay, I've gone through the fifth pair of version one. The other four I broke. Well, I sweated on them and they broke themselves. But fifth pair, and I've gone through this exact same problem every single time. And for a company that, they basically said, oh, you got to go out to LA because we've got this excellent customer support model. We want to show you, we want to invite you in there. And I got nothing. It was literally, like I said before, it was like going to the optometrist's office and getting a new pair of glasses. If you've ever done that, you've got the Google Glass experience. And it's kind of sad. It's not like we paid $20 for these things. We paid significant amount of money to have these glass change. And they might be going, well, it's a courtesy that we're giving you a brand new version 2 pair of Google Glass, yet they still haven't told us what version 2 was all about. I mean, because I'll tell you something. And the other part of my CES experience was I actually got to go to downtown Las Vegas. Tony Hsieh from Zappos, the CEO of Zappos, is infusing $350 million in turning downtown Las Vegas into one big startup incubator. And I got to hang with these guys that are making what's called power glass, which is basically an extra battery for your glass that hooks on the side, has like a little strap around so you can actually wear it, and then you can put it, around your neck when you're not using them, and then put them back on or whatnot. And we had I literally I had I have the picture right here, and you probably saw it. It was me and five pairs of wearing four or five pairs of Google Glass. And with that, we went through, we asked the question, what's the difference between Google Glass version 1 and Google Glass version 2? And nobody could give me an answer. So what I did was I said, hey, you got the monobud, right? And they go, yeah, we got the monobud. So here's the picture right here. We got the monobud, and this is a Google Auto Awesome of the picture of me going back and forth. So I'll take out the tag here. That looks ridiculous. Get away. There we go. So basically, there's like two pairs of version 1s, two pairs of version 2s, and nobody can tell me the difference between the two. In fact, we took the monobud, and I plugged the monobud into my headset, and it worked just fine. So, Luke, have you heard of any difference between version 1 or 2?
So that's a good question, because so today when I was on the phone, I actually asked about that, because they said, oh, you know, we're sending you version 2, and they said we'd recommend everybody gets it, and we're glad you're getting it. And they said because it's needed for upcoming accessories. And I said, well, what do you mean? What kind of accessories? And they said, like he said, honestly, I don't know. He's like, I know it has something to do with the prescription glasses. He's like, I know they want the new ones for the prescription ones. But he said there's some other stuff, some other accessories that they're working on that for some reason these version 2 ones will support the new accessories and the version 1 won't. So he didn't say that it was for the mono earbud or anything like that, which is kind of what I expected their stock answer to be. He said it was for something else, and he's like, I'm not sure. I know the prescription lenses, they want the second ones for that, but they look the same to me, so I don't know what could be different, but maybe there's something else going on. But he did say that it was for future accessories, that's why.
Yeah. And every time that I've talked to somebody about that, that's the same stock answer I get.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, if this was anybody else, any other company, I think at this point I would have been done with them. I would have been like, you know, you're too cheeky. You'd have nothing. You're not telling us anything. We've paid good money for these pairs of Google Glass, and you're telling us that this is coming and this is the reason why, but you're not giving any details. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's poor management, poor everything. And the customer service level, if I was to rate it right now, it's definitely going to be somewhere along the lines of a C-, D+. So would you agree to that, Luke?
I haven't had as much experience with them. Like, I haven't had all the trouble with mine. Like, this is the first time that I've had to send them back. So from my perspective, it's not crazy. Like, I did expect that they would get them sooner than they did, and they would have turned it around a little quicker, especially for something, you know, they want us to have. And, you know, I would have expected a little better communication. So I don't know if I'd go quite that low, but I would say that, you know, it's more like in the B category. I'd probably give it a B, maybe a B+. But, you know, if they sent me more tracking numbers, kind of kept me more updated, like, oh, hey, here's an automated email saying we got your return, so the new ones will be on the way soon, or something like that. Because I was starting to get worried that this next day air package had not gotten, you know, halfway across the country. It's like that shouldn't be that big of a challenge. So like if they'd done a little bit better on the communication, but, you know, I was able to call, I got right through. Basically, I put in my phone number, and they called me within, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds. It seemed like the phone rang and I picked up. And so it was really easy to get a hold of them, and they answered my question really quickly and all that. So it's like, it wasn't, in my mind, it wasn't bad customer service, but it seemed kind of like I had to pull the information out of them instead of them just, you know, like automated emails. Like I'm not asking for personal emails here.
Yeah. And I'm not, and that's why I'm confused why you'd give them a B for that. I mean, I think they need to talk to Jeff Bezos about customer support. Get those Amazon drones out there, because that would be, that's how you do support. I mean, we're not asking for the world. If it takes 2 to 3 days, that's fine. But they're supposed to have this patent down. There's and like I said, when I've talked to people, they said, oh, it's this customer service support that it's gonna blow your socks off. That's what he told me. It's gonna blow your socks off. Well, my socks are still on, and it's kind of good because it's freezing up here. But it's not. It's just not what I expected for the price I paid, and that's as simple as that. So, I could rant on this all day because
Oh, I know.
I've had so many different experiences. But, the other part, like I said, is I got to talk to a lot of startups and some cool news. I still got to find the money to do it, but next month I'm going to be going back to Vegas for Tech Cocktail, and we're going to do some very interesting stuff while I'm in Vegas, because I'm working with the guys from Power Glass, PWR Glass, and they have this really cool thing. In fact, I did a video over on Geekazine, and you can check it out over at geekazine.com. The Power Glass guys, let me see if I can call it up in time here. The Power Glass guys, basically it's a battery you put on the back here, and it's got a little strap that goes to the other side, so you can wear it on around your neck or something like that. And it extends the life of the battery of Google Glass 2 to 3 times. So if I think Robert Scoble said something about 45 minutes of video and before your battery dies from 100 to zero. This actually extends it to something like 2.5 hours worth of video, and it's pretty cool. Plus, they also showed me NameTag, which CNN last week apparently put onto the news and started talking about. So they're getting a lot of requests on that. And of course, I gave that link to you, Luke, so you can go and check it out there and get on the beta list on that. So it is an augmented reality app. So what it was basically, if they're in your contact list, you basically look at, if I looked at Luke, it would then show a green box around his face and then turn around and say, hey, this is Luke Wallace. You want to add him as a Facebook friend, or do you want to add him to Twitter or something like that? And then you can go from there. So lots of fun. And here's the article here I've got for lots of pictures on this post. But the guys with Power Glass and NameTag, awesome stuff. I won't show it because it's going to take too long. But the whole point is that it's awesome. And the cool stuff that they're doing for Google Glass in Las Vegas is amazing. And this is a city that's supposed to be the number one rejecter of Google Glass. So anyway, we went on about that. Oh, but you did get something from Glass, right?
Yeah, and I think you said you did too, but I've got mine handy right here. So,
Yes, I did, but I don't know where mine is.
you talk about customer service. So, I got this mystery letter in the mail, this little black envelope and little seal on the back, and you open it up, and it's got this little card. It says "Happy New Year" on one side. I don't know if you can see that, and on the other one it says, "Here's to another great year of exploring." And then has like a handwritten "Best wishes, Christine," I think is what mine says. So, and then it has glass down at the bottom. So it was a little card from the Glass Explorers for New Year's, just saying thanks for being in it, being a explorer. And so, maybe that to me, that's why they get up more to kind of that B level of, they're doing these kind of personal notes and
Well,
show it a little.
you also got a water bottle. You also got a little glass trinket that you can show. I don't have that stuff. They
Yeah,
didn't give me that
granted.
stuff, so. But
Granted, so.
I don't know. It's those they're nice things, don't get me wrong, and the people there are really nice. They do their best. So it's not on the people, it's on the service as a whole. And like I said, it's a statement that they made, and they're not living up to the statement. That's why they get such a low mark from me.
It's
So.
very hard to beat Amazon, like when it comes to customer service. I've just had a great customer service experience with them over the years, and so I think, with that being in my mind the gold standard for products and purchasing and stuff, yeah, it's like,
Oh, and
it's a very tough bar to hit.
Yeah, and that news, they had that news story that basically said that Amazon's going to start shipping you items before you even order the item.
Well, I think it said shipping them to like your local area, not so
Yeah.
much to your house.
Oh,
But yeah,
yeah.
like they're basically predicting like, hey, people in this area, there's enough of them. And
Yeah.
so yeah, pretty neat.
In Wisconsin, they're stocking up on Furbies. What rhymes with Furby? Anyway, so let's get in. We've talked enough about, and you went to New York. Let's talk about New York really quick. You went to New York, had a great time, right?
Yeah, so it was my first time to New York, but I did take my glass and took some pictures of Times Square and of the tree at Rockefeller Center, and that was pretty neat to go to those kind of places. And yeah, so much going on. One person, or actually a kid at Rockefeller Center, I could hear him. He's like, hey dad, that's the glass, Google Glass right there. And so I had to kind of talk to them for a few minutes and kind of explain what it was. And yeah, they were amazed. And but I was amazed that this little, I don't know, 7 or 8 year old, he was the one, he knew what it was. And I'm like, how does an 8 year old even know that? Like, where did he hear this? Where do they talk about this that he hears it? I don't know.
Well, it's on the news. I've had many kids come up and say Google. I was actually at a party last. We went to dinner last night with a bunch of friends, and there was a couple kids, and they were just like, it's more of an amazement for them than anything, because it's something that they haven't seen before, and to them everything is new technically, and so that might be it. I don't know, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't believe how many kids know what Google Glass is over their parents.
Yeah, it's like, do they
So.
watch the news? Like, I don't know how they could see it and their parents couldn't. I don't know. So
Maybe they're more receptive to it. I don't know. So,
yeah.
but anyway, so you had a good time in New York. Did you
Yeah.
visit? Did you visit the Google office at all, or no?
No, I was up there on a business trip. Didn't have a lot of free time, and it was also really cold, and I'm not used to, single digit temperatures. So
It's 90 degrees and humid where you are right now, right?
it is not quite that warm. It's more like in the 50s or high 40s, so.
Okay, so well, we're gonna have a cold snap here, so you're more than welcome to come up to Wisconsin any single time you want.
I will pass for
No,
now.
okay. All right, well, let's get into the news for this week. We got a lot of news, so this is gonna be a longer show than before because we did take a few weeks off here. We're gonna gloss over this first article because there's a lot of reasons why I say this. I'm not 100% that this article is very factual. And it started over here at the Gadgeteer. And basically there was a person that who claims he wants to be anonymous. I know the person's name. I saw their profile. But apparently they said that they were in and they've gone to this AMC theater in Ohio before. And now he's got prescription lenses on his Google Glass. So he took his Google Glass into the theater, and they went to watch whatever movie it was. Anyway, the whole point is that he got somebody came in and told him to come with him, flash some weird badge or something like that, and then they took him into another room and they said, "We don't want you recording you're recording movies with your Google Glass, and we don't want you to do that." So. And he took his Google Glass, and he apparently held his Google Glass so during this whole thing. So, and they were watching. Jack Ryan was the name of the movie that they were watching. So he got shuttled into a little room, and then they apologized and they gave him 2 free tickets. I would be calling my lawyer at this point in time, but the whole thing. I called up the movie theater, and I said, "All you need to do is verify that something happened on Saturday." And they wouldn't do that. They told me to call the 800 number, and I called the 800 number, and never heard back from them. So, I don't know if this is true or not. He apparently got interrogated by a guy by the name of Bob Hope. So, but there's a lot of things that just make me kind of step back about this. And he's also saying, "Well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble." And I don't want to, but I don't want anybody to know my name. And apparently, the first article that came out was the Gadgeteer, but then Fandroid apparently got a hold of this person and got some more information from them. But the real question is it true or not? And I'm not 100% if it is. So it's that's why we're going to gloss over this really quick. Luke, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, this just kind of broke today, so and we haven't got any confirmation from the theater, and yeah, so there's a lot of kind of weird stuff going on here, but you know, we've seen people be hostile towards Glass, and but yeah, why we're not really sure why he got like why they went after him, you know, if he's warned him before, and he said like he talked like he knew some people there, so it's like, eh, there may be more to this story than you know.
Meets the
He's
eye.
letting on. Yeah, exactly. So,
Yeah.
yeah, probably don't want to jump to too many conclusions or, you know, yeah, go nuts on this just yet. It's like, yeah, maybe next week when we do the show, we can kind of follow up on this
Yeah.
and say kind of here's what looks like happened or whatever.
It's just everything that he said and did, and he posted it up. Post a long story up on the Glass Explorers, which apparently is no longer there anymore. I don't know. It just there's so many holes right now that until I get word back from the theater that this actually happened, we'll just have to leave it. It's kind of like this next story, and sorry, Luke, but I did move this up. And the next story was the ticket for driving Google Glass dismissed, but. Let me. I gotta stress this. The woman got a ticket for speeding. Cecilia Abadal, I think is her name. She got a ticket for speeding, 30 miles over the limit. That's why she got stopped. And I think she might have thought, you know, hey, this is a great opportunity. Maybe if I can get something for Google Glass, I could probably get in the news. So if I was to do that, what would be the first thing I'd do? I'd be like, let's turn on my glass. Okay, now the cop can see something right here. You can see something right here. And now I can get a ticket for that. That's me. I'm just throwing a what if there. But she did that did get thrown out of California court for using glass and driving. So, Luke, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that this is a big deal?
No, but I think it's good that there wasn't some huge blow up that said you can't wear glass anymore, or you know, if we see you at all with glass on, we know it's disruptive. And yeah, what apparently the charge was that everybody was focusing on, was the obstructed view while driving or something like that, which yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense with glass. I mean, it was designed to be used while driving, you know. So I don't see how that would hold up legitimately. But you know, when people don't understand it or they haven't tried it, it's hard to, you know, to them it might look like it is obstructed and you know it's obstructing your eye because it does kind of look like it's covering your whole eye even though it's a clear piece of glass and the screen isn't even the whole thing. And yeah, so I think it's good that it went this way because if it hadn't, it could have just been a huge uphill battle trying to get it where you could use glass to drive.
So, and it does will it become a problem? Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to become a problem for somebody.
Oh yeah,
The way,
somebody will get in an accident wearing glass and that's all everyone will focus on,
yeah,
regardless of the fact that there's 100,000 or I don't know, there's tons of accidents every day from
yeah,
people not wearing glass, so
and then they'll do something stupid like they'll actually be reading the whole, you know, when something comes up on glass for, and this is why I don't have the motion on thing anymore. Is for when something comes through on my glass, it does a ding ding thing, and I got to do this for it to show up. So if I'm driving and I hear a ding ding, I just don't tip up my head at all, and I just keep driving. If it does show up, it's like you don't look at that. You know, the one thing that I noticed, I went I drove with Google Glass on last week, and it was dark, and it was snowing. And something happened. I think I just did this a little bit and thought I tipped my head up because I didn't hear the bing off of that. And then it turned it on. It's like, wow, that's a little bit brighter than I expected. And I had to really focus on the road. But for the most part, yeah, when that happens, especially during the daytime, it's not a problem.
yeah.
So, But so she got let off on that. So we'll see what happens. We'll see the next ticket that they actually end up having to pay or serve time for. That's the one we're gonna be, I guess we'll be waiting for. So, but just didn't happen with this one. So I'll have the link to the show notes if you want to read more on that. All right. So there was a lot of wearable technology at CES, and there was like 10 or 12 different glass competitors at CES, and I did get to check out the Vuzix M100, which was pretty cool. But they're also working with car companies, and I got to talk with Mercedes-Benz, and they showed me their apps for not only the Google Glass, but also for the Pebbles, the next generation Pebble smartwatch. And that was a pretty cool video, and of course you can check that out on Geekazine or TPN.TV. But our next article deals with Hyundai, and Luke, why don't you head that article right there?
So that one was talking about basically, let's see. Basically, they've got this software, and it's called, I don't want to mess this name up, BlueLink, which basically gives you information about, how's your car doing? Does it need maintenance? All that kind of stuff. And they have an app right now. And so what they've done is basically put that app on glass. So they have a smartphone app, and so now they're going to have, a glass app. So it'll be able to push notifications about scheduling service and, things like remote start and stuff. Basically be able to do the same kind of things you can do in BlueLink. So it's not any new functionality, in the glassware. It's just a new method of accessing it. So instead of having to use your smartphone app, you can use Glass. So nothing, mind blowing, but it's that first step of, automating what they've got available through Glass. So right now it maybe just tells you about, you need an oil change, and you can schedule that if you'd like. Basically have it automatically set up a time at your local car dealership. But you could imagine things like, maybe stats are there, or maybe there's ways to, yeah, the remote start I could see being useful. Being able to, start your car without having to get your phone out and get your app and all that, or, unlock the doors. It's like there's a lot of cases where you could see that controlling, just little bits of your car remotely through your glass could be real useful. It could become like keyless entry or something, that everyone has now, and you can't take it away from people. It's kind of considered a standard feature at this point. So you could see the same kind of thing, and like you were talking about, smart watches could have this same functionality, but they just opted to go with glass, probably, for the media attention that it typically gets. Anything with Google Glass tends to get a little bit more attention than doing the same thing on a Pebble or whatever. So
Yeah, that is true. I think they're all waiting for the smartwatches to the iWatch to come out from Apple before they can say, hey, that's real wearable technology. But for somebody like me who lives in temperatures that are, what are they calling it now? They got that weird name for it,
polar
polar
vortex.
vortex. That's it. Yeah.
Polar vortex.
And we're going through polar vortex part two, electric boogaloo. I don't know. I was in Vegas when polar vortex passed by, so I was really happy about that. But if it's a -2 day, I'd love to just go, hey, okay, glass, start my car, and then I just have to deal with the out of the house into the car type thing, or in if I have a garage, a non-heated garage, then I don't have to worry about that. But at least it's warmed up by the time I get out there. And the only problem is if my car doesn't start, then it's like, okay, glass, why aren't you starting my darn car? Come on, start it up. So I've lived in Wisconsin now 42 years of my life, and it's just something that you do every single year is you swear at your car before you start it or trying to start your car. So, but this is pretty cool. I can't wait to see what type of apps that they can have that'll connect with the car with the glass or any wearable technology for that matter. So I'm really excited about that. So, all right, let's move on here. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I guess that I still got this cough going here. Next thing, Google developers has come out with these branding guidelines. And you found this article. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so this is Google. Basically, any product has these kind of things. For every, in my day job, for people that maybe haven't heard the story, is I work at an app development company. So we build apps for lots of big brands, a lot of television companies and stuff like that. And if you went to any of these companies, they would all have these brand guidelines, basically. I'm going to make up a few here. So NBC, for example, like the Peacock has a certain color system to it. You can't just change the colors if you want to match your colors, or, you have to have that chrome effect on it, so it's kind of shiny or whatever. It's like there are certain things that you always have to present those logos a certain way if you're going to use them. And so Google Glass hasn't had those officially yet. They've kind of talked about them, but this is just an official outline of different ways of talking about glass and ways to reference glass in, when you in text media mostly is what they're talking about. And so I'll just give a couple examples and we'll have the links and stuff. So it should never be plural. So they said it's incorrect if you write, wear Google Glasses. That wouldn't be the right thing. Or swipe forward on Glasses timeline. So the possessive part of that. So what they say instead is you should say something like, get the location updates from a user's glass, or send timeline cards to all of your users' glass. So glass there is singular and it's capitalized when it's written. So there's things like that where basically they make up these little rules that most of the time, people won't notice, but it's something that that's how they want glass to be referenced, so that it's consistent and people don't get confused about, wait, how should I say it? What's the right term and stuff? And, obviously they're not going to just come yelling at you if you say the wrong thing one time or something like that. Yeah. But it's more of a, when it's written, these are the recommendations of the right way to say it.
Yeah.
And so if you don't follow these guidelines, it's kind of like you're admitting that you really don't know what you're talking about and all that kind of stuff. But so it's just kind of a simple thing that, like I said, every brand has these. They've just made these public because, anybody could be a glass developer. So everyone should know how, the brand should be referenced.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's more towards the apps because apparently the word glass is trademarked, and I'm not exactly sure how they got that happened.
Yeah.
So, the funny thing is every time that somebody says, those are those Google glasses. And it's like, I literally want to stop and say, no, Google
right
Glass,
way.
Google Glass. But, I skim over that. But, the whole point is that, Google is a trademark of Google, and they're trying to prevent what's called generic trademarking, which basically means, and they had this fight about a year and a half ago. Somebody put in a petition to say, Google is so synonymous with search that people say, just Google it. And it's a trademark company. They don't want to lose that trademark because that changes a big game for them. We would not say, if we had like a TV show or something like that, we would only say Google that if it was licensed for us to say that. So we would have to say search it or Bing it, or instead of Google it. And of course Bing has their own trademark stuff too, but nobody really cares about that. So the whole point is that, I understand that they've got to protect their trademark and their brand. I'm hoping, we talked about this really quick. I mean, this week in Google Glass, I'm not going to say this week in Google Glass trademark. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think you have to say it.
And I'm not going to say Google this week in Google Glass for cats fun facts or something like that.
Yeah.
It's this week in Google Glass, and And the reality is that's what I started, and it was long before these brand guidelines. I don't think it's going to pertain to me, and I
Yeah.
use a lot of their literature anyway. Like for instance, whenever I send a picture, I always use Through Glass. I feel that I'm a pretty big supporter of Google, and I feel that I'm a pretty good supporter of Google Glass and a good evangelist for Google Glass. Even though, I do have the problems, and that just stems off of customer support. I've always said, I've broken four pairs of glass, not through any fault of my own, but I'm glad to take that pair of glass back to them so they can find out what's wrong so they can make it better so I have a better pair of Google Glass. I've never dissed the company in any other way, or done anything like that. But it's if somebody says it's supposed to be this way and it's not that way, I'll take them to task. That's the bottom line. So, but anyway, back to this. It's Google Glass, and if you're developing an app for it, it's Google Glass, and you got to follow these guidelines because you'll get in trouble if you don't.
Yeah, they'll probably be rejecting apps for this reason, when people submit them, if they have a name that violates these or something in the description, they'll probably just be monitoring it. And so they just need it documented so they can point people at the documentation and say, go look over here and follow those rules. So.
And really quick, iPhone, Apple does the exact same thing for their apps. You can't say certain things about your app on there. In fact, for podcasts, I kind of wish that we have those same types of brand guidelines because they kind of mentioned it at the Podcast Awards a couple weeks ago. They go, why does everything end with podcast? We know it's a podcast. Why does your show say podcast in it? So anyway, off that rant, let's move on from there. Let's go over to you found one of the places that you can actually go. Let's pull this up here. We're gonna really quick on this. OpticsPlanet.com has got some frames or some lenses, right?
Yeah, so these look like they're by Wetley West. Let me make sure I'm.
Wetley brand.
Yeah, they're Wetley brand lenses, prescription lenses that fit on. It looks like very similar to how our sun shades, our sunglass shades that I know you've demonstrated before, and the clear lenses, clear shades we've got. They fit on kind of like that, basically between the nose pieces and hook on, and they're only $150, which is not really bad at all for prescription lenses.
It looks like the first pair, there's one pair for $99.99 or $99, excuse me.
So maybe even some cheaper ones there. Those maybe those are just plain, without any sort of coatings or anything on them, but still, it's not a bad price at all for a pair of prescription lenses. It's definitely tempting me a little bit to like I'm hoping that some official ones will come out soon, but if not, this may be something that I get out to try just so I can wear glass a little bit more often.
I'm surprised. I don't see any protection lenses here. Anything that's meant for protecting your eyes from, in a construction job or something like that.
Like safety goggles or
Yeah,
something.
safety goggles. I mean, and that's probably one of the biggest downfalls of Google Glass right now is when it comes to industrial use, it's not as good as some of the other companies that are making wearable technology for your eye. Well, the Vuzix one, they basically the their little glass thing could actually snap into a pair of safety goggles, so you'd have to put on the safety goggles. So, but yeah, it's cool to see, and $99. I need to get glasses anyway, so I'm probably gonna start looking at getting prescription lenses for my Google Glass once I get my second version of Google Glass, since I can't apparently wear them on this pair of Google Glass or whatever, and go from there. So, but once again, we'll have the link in the show notes if you want to check out more on that. All right, let's move on from there. We're gonna go over to FanDroid. Drive Safe is a Google app that you found. And Luke, you did a lot of great work since I was off in CES. I just didn't have time to look at half of this stuff, so I'm glad you found some of this stuff. So, you found an app that keeps you awake behind the wheel?
Well, that's kind of the idea behind it. So people are talking about glass and it being distracting and, ruining the driving experience and making it unsafe. So this is an app that I don't know if it was in response to that or just because they thought it was a useful app. Is basically an app that kind of monitors you. I'm guessing I haven't been able to try it because I found this after I sent my pair off. But it basically measures, I'm guessing, the tilt of your head, kind of telling if your head starts to drop, and uses that to basically chime and say, hey, it looks like you're falling asleep or getting drowsy, and kind of trying to wake you up. And I've seen a lot of, or I've heard of a lot of these kind of safety mechanisms that people have built, kind of little homegrown safety things, but this is something that it's integrated into hardware that people are already wearing. So, because how often when you're driving does your head actually, tilt down while you're driving? It's like not really. So it can probably detect that as, hey, your eyes are getting lower, you're tilting a lot, further for a lot longer than you should be. Maybe you're falling asleep, so I'm gonna wake you up. And so
Well, since I still have my pair of Google Glass, maybe I'll give this a try and see what it's like. I actually got a device yesterday in the mail from a Saturday called Papago, which is a dashboard camera. So I had to drive up north for a gig with the band, so I attached it to my windshield and we drove up north. It was GPS enabled, and they made me calibrate it with the horizon so they could see the road, and then these lines showed up on the road. Showed the horizon. It had a horizon line, and then it had the straight line. Every time the road bended a little bit, it would beep and stuff like that. So, and of course, that used G like I said, it used GPS to figure out where I was, and then report the data and say, hey, this is going to turn a little bit. Or, and of course, it had the ability to also, if I was veering off the road, or if I was speeding, it was telling me to slow down and stuff like that. So we played, Jennifer and I played with those little functions before. I'm guessing, I don't think it's got the GPS option inside Glass or to grab the tethering through the phone or anything like that. So I would guess that it would definitely have to be a, if your head goes down, it's alerting you to look at the road again. So it'll be interesting. I'll definitely try and download it here and see how it works for me. And then once you get your Google Glass, then you'll be able to get it. You don't have your Google Glass. Ha ha.
No, I do not. No, I do
You're
not.
not one of the cool kids. I
Not
say that now,
anymore.
but in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to return these. And
You're gonna be
even
in the
though
same boat.
Christopher Lloyd wore these, now I got to return them, so I'm not
They
going to
were
be one of the cool
signed.
kids.
That would be pretty impressive.
You know, that's what everybody said. If I would have had the celebrities sign them as they took them off, that would be one thing, but I can't sell them on eBay for $3,000, and I don't have another $1,500. Because technically, you could say, okay, Glass, here's another $1,500. Give me the version two, and then all of a sudden you have two pair of glass. So, but I just can't do that. So, unless somebody wants to do it for me, that'd be great. Anyway, let's move on. We're going over to register.com. This is very interesting. It's called Film My Shag. It showed up in the news today. It's the company that they've been big on glass. They're called Sex with Glass, and of course they've had their run-ins with Google already, and they decided to put out this Film My Shag sex app, and the whole idea is this: you put on the glass while you're having relations. And with that, you're basically I don't know, as I think it's part filming and part, okay, we're bored, what else do we do? And so you say, okay, Glass, give me some ideas. And maybe some music or anything like that. Just kind of get the mood going or something like that. Give it a more sensual, full experience. So, your significant other wouldn't be so freaked out that you're wearing a recordable device on your head. Not that I wouldn't be freaked out wearing a recordable device on my head while I'm being intimate with my partner. So, I what can you do? I mean, Luke, oh, looks like Luke left. Luke didn't want to talk about it, so Luke left. So anyway, you just basically you can use it for different things. If you want to know more on that, we're gonna have the link over at the register.co.uk and we'll go from there. All right. Couple quick ones and then we'll get you going there. Oh, Luke's back. Okay, there you go. You didn't want to hear that one, did you?
Had nothing to do with that. I just needed to plug in. I forgot to plug in for power.
Oh, so
So
you were about to die and I would have run solo, so all right, well, we'll give you a minute here.
there we go.
Okay.
So I'm
All
all
right.
good now.
So our next thing, it's an actual, well, we're gonna skip this one for next week, but let's get into the last one here. The question of Google Glass being doomed. And right before CES, Robert Scoble put out a very long article about Google Glass, and he basically said that if Google doesn't get it down to under $300, that Google Glass would be doomed. And a lot of people have been taking that to heart, and a lot of people have been seeing, especially with CES, like I said, there were 12 different competitors for just the eyewear wearable technology. There were several watch competitors, including this one watch, which was so darn big. It was like, I don't know, the Predator watch or something like that. And I could never see myself wearing that thing. It'd be like taking your smartphone and actually putting it on your wrist or something like that. But there was that one, and then of course the wearable clothing technology. We talked with Reebok, and they had this little cool piece that you put on your head when you put underneath the helmet, and if you have a if you get hit, it'll actually tell if it's something you need to take this person out of the game or something like that. So lots of different wearable technology, but like I said, there was about 12 different pairs of Google Glass, so they're definitely not the only company in the market. And a lot of these companies that do have their own version of glasses or whatever, they're definitely going to the $300 to $500 mark. And if Google Glass can't hit that $300 to $500 mark, there's no way that they'll be able to sustain themselves. So Scoble goes, by 2020, I'm convinced that this will be a big deal, and there'll be lots of competition. So you make it about 2020, then it isn't doomed. And if it's about beating Apple iWatch in 2014, yeah, and that is totally doomed because we don't know what Apple iWatch is going to come out with. I'm pretty sure it's going to come out with sensors that'll help, that'll tell your heart rate, that'll tell your blood pressure, and then it'll report it back to your iPhone or your iPad. And I think that's the reason why an iWatch is not out yet, is because they can't do those sensors just yet. They haven't perfected that technology yet. And so we're dealing with Google Glass, but once that watch comes out, we'll be like, okay, hey, look at my new watch. So I don't know, what are your thoughts? Do you think that that we're gonna lose interest in our Google Glasses when Apple comes out with their technology?
I don't know. I think it's too early to say. I know Apple usually gets a lot more press than any other company doing the same thing. Generally, they're not doing anything new. They're just doing stuff better. So it's not that they come out with technology that has never existed before. It just comes out and works a little bit better than everything else has ever worked. And there's been more thought put into it. And I think a lot of companies are seeing that and trying to, for lack of a better term, out Apple by basically do stuff really, really well right out of the gate so that they can't be outdone by Apple. And I don't know if I'm seeing a lot of success in that regard. Like, none of the watches have tempted me too much. They all seem kind of neat, but not, they don't seem to do enough for me to be that interested. Some of the fitness bands are kind of getting there. So I think they'd get a lot of press if they did an iWatch, because people have been predicting the iWatch for 2 years now, keep saying it's right around the corner, next month it's due, and oh, this year at WWDC, and then nothing, just like they say about the Apple TV, like physical TV. So they get a lot of press for rumors. They get as much press for rumors as a lot of companies do for real products. But they're really good at making a big splash when they ever they do anything. So I think they'd get a lot of press for it. But I think competition's also good. It'd be hard to say that the iPhone would be where it is now if it weren't for Android and maybe Windows and BlackBerry and some other companies at least trying stuff. I think Android has really pushed them, and I think it's like Apple also pushes Android. So without competition, either one would just kind of be sitting, never improving. So I think it's good that people are saying, "Here's what we want. Here's what we want to pay." I think that's great. Google hasn't said what the price is, so for him to be like, I don't know if he's upset. Because it's like they haven't even said what it is. How can you be upset with the price? Like, Google's never really lost anything on price. Like, when you look at how much phones and tablets and stuff cost, the Android ones are always cheaper. So I'm guessing the Glass will end up being the same price or cheaper than most everything else, or there'll be obvious benefits to it that, make it, more expensive, like where it has to be more expensive. But
I think all Scoble did was he talked, well, he talks with experts. I mean, he talks with the sources, which is his advantage of being out there in San Francisco. So he goes to Google a lot, and maybe he doesn't, maybe he hasn't gotten an official word or anything like that. But even I've put two and two together and realized, this is not going to be a cheap technology in the end. I mean, we paid, when they did Chromebooks, Google sent out, gave out thousands of Chromebooks to people, didn't ask for a penny. And now here's Google Glass. It's like, yeah, I want to be part of it. Okay, well, you're going to be part of this exclusive club, and you're going to pay for that exclusivity, and go from there. So, and I always thought it was, I thought I always thought it was like, okay, well, we're being part of that exclusive club, but it's also might be because of the fact that, they're trying to figure out how to get the prices down, and they haven't figured it out, and so now they've got to for a return on investment. They've got to hit it at the $400 or $500 mark, and since it's not a full blown phone, $400 or $500 mark, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, a regular Bluetooth device, anything over $125, I stay away from, or I used to stay away from. I don't buy Bluetooth devices anymore, of course,
Exactly.
but unless it's something like I have on my car, I have the little Bluetooth device, which does a little bit more. It tunes it into the FM radio, so I can talk to people and not have to go what all the time. And for that I'd pay a little bit more. But for a regular earpiece Bluetooth device, yeah, if I'm paying over $100, I'm going, no, this isn't worth it. So, and a lot of people will feel that way. The Google Glass will not be, if it goes over $300, they're going to go, I'm just not going to buy it. I can't afford it. I mean, that's for some people, that's a month's worth of rent right there. And $1,500, that's 3 months worth of rent for me. So.
I don't know. I don't know if we've predicted prices before. Like, I would guess something more in like that $299 range. That feels kind of like what they would want to charge for it. It's got basically phone hardware in it, and it's not brand new phone hardware. And they've got, but it is very small hardware in it, because it, sits on your face. So that size makes the cost a little bit higher than it might be otherwise. But I could see that, being that, but it's like they haven't even announced it yet. You know, if they had announced a price and they said it's coming in 6 months for $599, I could see him saying, well, it's got to be below 300 for people to, you know, really get on. But it's like they haven't even announced the price. So it's like he's kind of, I mean, it's good that he's giving his input and saying, like, here's what I really want the price to be, 300 to 500, you know, hopefully more towards the three, but
Yeah.
hopefully he's not being too critical of it, you know,
Well,
when, you know.
I think there's a lot more. I mean, even let's say that Google Glass gets to $300. You have $300 for a pair of Google Glass and a monobud. If you want to get stereo earbuds, you're paying $80 for that. If you want to get another power cord, you're paying another $50 for that. If you want to get prescription lenses for your Google Glass, you're paying another $100 at the minimum for that. So, you know, even if Google Glass hit the $300 mark, it could cost somebody somewhere to the lines of $500 to $600 to get a pair of Google Glass that they could actually use.
So almost as much as the cheapest iPad is what you're saying. If you buy all this
Actually,
stuff, you might get up to the cheapest iPad.
no, actually the cheapest iPad is $299.
No,
That's the iPad, the
that's the
iPad
iPad
mini is,
Mini. That's not
yeah.
the iPad.
Yeah, no, that's the cheapest iPad though. You didn't specify mini or Air.
Well, you can find a version one refurb, you know, probably for $50 somewhere. So, you know, we can get into what's out there. So, how much would a so if Google Glass comes out and it's $299, and then let's say the Apple iWatch comes out and it's $299, what would you know? Would you say the iWatch is a good deal and Glass is a bad deal? How would you go on that?
First of all, I don't think the iWatch will be $299. Samsung's watch is not $299. It's
Yeah.
what, $530 or something like that.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I
it's a few hundred dollars. It's more than $300. I'm pretty sure of
Yeah.
that. I went out there and I looked at them as I went. And well, the other cool thing is you can go to like AT&T and get on their Next program. And you can lease it for $30 a month or something like that. You can do
Leasing a
that with a
watch.
You can no, but you can do that with the watch. You can do that with the iPad. You can do that with an iPad mini or a phone. And that's where it's going to go is AT&T or something like that will have Google Glass and you'll be on a lease program, 25, $30 a month. And if you break it, of course, you got to pay the difference, which ends up to be $500, $600. And then put in the prescription. I think the iWatch will be 400 at the least. Because, like I said, I think they're putting in sensors, so you can do a lot more than you can monitor heart rate. In fact, Epson, in the article, they talk about Epson with their wearable, which also has a heart rate monitor, which also has a calorie burn algorithm, and it's going to debut in June. And if they've got that stuff in there, you know, it doesn't make sense to me for Apple to not have. I just hit my microphone. Sorry. So it doesn't make sense for Apple to separate their processor and coprocessor so it'll work better for health applications and not come out with a device that's going to be the ultimate health application. And I think that's what the iWatch is about. So, you know, and let's say that the iWatch is $400, $399.99 for some godly reason because that makes everybody happy and furry and stuff like that. Then Google will have to match that price of $399.99. It's simple as that.
Well,
It it
what if it's less? What if it's $2.99 for
if
glass and
if it's less for glass, then that's better. But if they can't go less than $500 and Apple pulls out a $400 watch, Google will have to match that with $400. And that's my opinion. But the
yeah,
reality is,
sure.
if you had $400 to buy wearable technology. Or even if you had $600 to buy wearable technology and you had a $500 pair of Google Glass with another $100 for lenses or a $400 iWatch, which one would you get? And you don't, let's add this, you're not an Apple hater. Let's just put that's let's throw that out the window. Those people that go, "Oh, I don't buy anything Apple because they suck the life out of me." And it's
So,
like, so take throw that out of the window. If you
yeah.
had that choice, would you buy the watch or would you buy the glass?
So, it's a tough question because I don't know, because I've had Google Glass, so the glass is easier for me to understand as far as, what all it can do and why it has such a benefit. But I can tell you, if they come out with something like that, and I think you're hitting on a good point, I think people are expecting an eye watch when really they should be expecting like an eye fitness band. And it's like the watch part of it isn't the main thing. The main thing is like this Nike Fuel Band or the Fitbit Force and all those other all that other wearable tech that we're talking about. Like the watch isn't really what it's most useful for. It's neat that it can tie into some of that stuff. So I don't know if they'll even call it iWatch. I think it may be more of like this iFitness thing. Now, if you talk about something like that, I think a lot more people would be, they would see the immediate benefit to it. And the advantage that something like an iWatch has over glass is it's less dorky looking. Maybe that's the maybe just come out and say it like that. Like glass, people say that it looks really weird. Like it's so different. Whereas a Fuel Band doesn't look that different. It looks like that's a funny watch. Whereas glass looks like not just a funny pair of glasses. It looks, like a crazy, display. And I know what.
And half the time you won't see the watch because it's hidden behind a
Sure.
somebody's sleeve or something like that.
Yeah, and then it's just then they get to reveal it and show you that. And like we've said before, with glass, like this is the first version of it, and it will look better, and they'll get it down where you probably won't even be able to tell. Like the glasses I'm wearing now, someone will look back and say, "Well, that guy's wearing some brand new version of glass. How did he get those glasses 5 years ahead of everyone else? Because look, he's." And it's like, no, these are just standard glasses, but eventually, this is what they'll probably look like. And so, hopefully, that doesn't deter people too early. But I could see that being a big hurdle. Like people are like, I can have $400 and spend it on a Fuel Band, an Apple Fitness Band, and okay, I see the benefit to that because I've had one before. My friends can talk about that, and oh yeah, health and fitness, and oh, and it can control my iPod, and I can, give me directions or something like, oh well, yeah, okay, I can see that. Apple is really good at marketing those useful bits of their products. Like they made the iPhone into this amazing thing when it came out. It didn't even have apps, and people thought it was the most amazing thing ever. And looking back, you're like, how did we ever think an app or a smartphone with six things was amazing? Like, but they did. They made it amazing
Oh, yeah.
because it did those six things really well, better than any other smartphone. And they build on that. Whereas glass, like it doesn't, like it's hard to explain to people. Like you know this as well as I do. Like when people see it, they maybe have a perception about what it can do and what it can't do, and they think it's always recording them, maybe, or things like that. And so it's harder for people to understand that. So even if they come out and it's the exact same price, people will say, or people could definitely say, well, I'll pick the one that I kind of understand and I don't look as weird over the one where I don't really understand it and it looks kind of funny. And, over time they might get something or they might get both. And I don't see why you couldn't have both. Like, that'd be something like I've been looking for a good fitness tracker, and hey, maybe the Apple one. Who knows? That would be cool.
I think the reason why they wouldn't buy both is because of the fact that Bluetooth pairs with one device and one device only. And I've been saying this for the last 6 months. And in fact, Michael Dell was on Google Plus, and he put out a question. He goes, "What do you think of?" And he gave out some ridiculous resolution, like a monitor resolution. So maybe they were hinting at the fact that Dell was going to get into TVs, or maybe that they were going to get their laptops into this higher resolution. I turned back and I said, what I'd really like to see is Dell come out with a machine that has two-way or four-way Bluetooth connectivity. So I can connect up my glass to my laptop. I can connect up my headphones to the laptop. I can connect up my phone to the laptop via Bluetooth, and never the same, and all three working at the same time, and never one of those three interfering with each other. And we need to have technology where you can pair your Google Glass with your watch and your phone instead of having them fight over which one is going to have that main pair. And that's the biggest problem with what you're proposing there. In fact, I do that all the time is I've got my Glass hooked up to my Nexus 5, but then, you know, I go to take a nap and I've got Gibson gave me these really nice set of Bluetooth headphones that I've been using to kind of relax and melt some care away. So I put them on, but then I've got to go into the Bluetooth and fight for that Bluetooth connection between Google Glass. And it's just, that's the biggest problem right there is if we want to wear all that wearable technology, we've got to have something that'll communicate and not have to fight for its right to be on the main device.
Yeah, it's definitely technological issue. So yeah. Hopefully it is something that they can figure out, and maybe that's what, you know, Apple will do. They'll put out something that pairs with it, but I would imagine that they'd rather just pick some standard, and then you just buy all the Apple stuff and it works together, and you know, it's not the issue.
Somebody picks the stuff and it goes across all devices, so we don't have to, we don't have Apple Bluetooth and we don't have Google Bluetooth, and then that's literally. It is what, you know, you talk about some of those wearable devices. Half of those wearable devices will not connect to this phone right here. And the reason why is because the way that the Bluetooth is set up. If they set it up for Apple products, and then I think I have a wearable. I won't talk about their name, but it'll pair to all iOS devices. It'll pair to Samsung, but it will not pair to my device. And that's sad.
Yeah.
So we need that. We need that one connectivity that connects everything, kind of like USB. You can have 128 devices up on your USB. So why can't you? You can have how many devices on your wireless now, especially with the new Macs and stuff like that, having the dual band multi-angle Wi-Fi, so you can get your Wi-Fi signal. Why can't we do that with Bluetooth? So I can connect up at least two devices to a phone or a computer.
Well, I know I've done a couple of things to the computer, but they're different devices. Like I can pair a Bluetooth keyboard and a Bluetooth mouse, but you can't pair like two audio devices. It must be getting confused and saying glasses, because, you know, it does headset audio.
Well, there might be pass-through devices, because there's also a thing called pass-through. So basically I can have, if I have a pass-through device, I pair this to that pass-through device, and then that pairs it to the Bluetooth device, but it's still one Bluetooth device. And I don't think there's a computer out there that lets you hook up two Bluetooth devices at the same time.
I don't know. The Apple keyboard and the Apple mouse both claim to be Bluetooth, and so I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, we're getting off the subject, but it's a reality. It's a full reality. You know, it's more than just the price that Robert Scoble says. It's about how you use it, if you want to use it. And, you know, it's something that I said since I got my pair of Google Glass. I stopped wearing glasses 12 years ago. And now here I am wearing glass, whatever you want to call it, wearing glass once again. And I didn't expect myself to be doing this. I also got rid of my watch 12 years ago, but I thought I'd be wearing a watch over wearing glass on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So.
That clock bracelet you're wearing, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a good point. You know, it might not be called iWatch. It might be called Watch Air or something like that.
Yeah.
Glass Air. How's that? We'll get that combination going there. We'll really upset Google in their branding.
yeah. We'll make all the brands mad at us all the time.
We're gonna call it iGlass.
iGlass.
Welcome to iGlass. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a fun run with this show. So we're probably gonna be off the air next week.
Yeah.
So. No, I'm off the soapbox there, but the reality is, you know, we cross over that. Is it doomed or not? The reality is that Google's, Google's making the technology that makes the patents. The patents are what's king. Maybe in 5 years we won't have this. Maybe we will have a pair of glasses that look like a pair of glasses with a little screen inside them and go from there. Or maybe that this thing will get ditched in the next 365 days because they came up with something new and better. And of course, if anybody tries to copy them, then they're just going to go after them for patent lawsuits.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, very much so. Anyway, that's it for this week. We went very long on this. And of course, that's because we didn't do a show the last few weeks and we had a lot of stuff. We didn't even talk about XC12. I don't even know what the new features are with XC12. And we're probably going to get an XC13 coming out very soon. So we'll see what happens there. But we will be back next week. We will be back to our regular shorter version show. Hopefully, if you like the longer formats, let us know and I'll rant all day if you want me to. You want to see that? You want to hear that happen, Luke? You want to rant all day?
It feels like it's been all day already.
All right. All right. Well, if you do have any questions, jeff@twig.tv, twigg.tv is my email address, or Geekazine, Think Magazine, put in a geek. And, of course, Luke, where can they find you?
Yeah, like we said at the top of the show, Luke Luca on Twitter, or luke@twigg.tv. That's twigg.tv.
Trademark. Wait, what?
Yeah, trademark. We have brand guidelines for that, so you better watch out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, watch out for our brand guidelines. We're going to come anyway. So thanks a lot for watching and listening, if you've been listening over there. If you have Paraglass, you want to be a part of the show, let me know. Geekazine. We better stop now. I'm running out of juice here. Geekazine, and I still have to put out my day in tech history for tomorrow. Geekazine as my Twitter handle. You can @jeff@twig.tv. Thanks a lot for watching. Thanks a lot for listening. This has been the overly ranted version of This Week in Google Glass. We'll see you next week.